You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so as it's a Wednesday, I'm speaking to Skulk Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth's Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Now, I spoke to a previous commentator and I said, you know what, there's really not much to talk about because everything's going swimmingly, thank you very much. The markets keep on driving their way higher in their own sort of grinding way. And, okay, we've had a few things out on the Stock Exchange News Service today, but otherwise, not very much. So maybe, Skulk Lowe, we should start with the JSC Securities Exchange, ArcelorMittal, Quilter, 91, anything else, anything you want to comment upon?
I think that Quilter was the one that already kind of stood out for me. Nice move in the share price after the trading update. But this is good. I mean, from an investment and person. I love investments.
Yes.
These type of figures usually makes me excited. You know, assets under administration and management reach £116.2 billion in September, and that's a 2% increase. I think the thing that stood out for me, the core net inflows. Now, all these, it was a 2% increase on the assets administration and management, or management administration.
Mm-hmm.
But they attributed this growth in the AUM. Net inflows, higher market levels. We've been chatting about this market, but listen to this. I mean, they came in quarter one, they had inflows of £810 million. Quarter two, they increased that to £923 million, and this quarter, increasing it by £1.5 billion.
That's a lot.
Pounds. That's amazing. So hats off, Quilter. I mean, you clearly are doing, you know, things right. Market, as I mentioned, it really loved it. Share price up just shy of 3%. Closed the day at 33.54. And then they just look at you know, through these segments. You know, how, you know, the IFA channel, how they've enjoyed, you know, inflows. You know, on the platform, increasing by 76% year on year. It's just everything in this trading update made me feel good. I'm not a shareholder. You know, days like today, I do feel a little bit, you know, a FOMO. But I think, you know, shareholders of Quilter is definitely feeling a little bit better today than they felt tomorrow.
Now tell me this then, what's your philosophy now? If the market dips for any reason, because the general market dips, or Quilter's shareholders decide to take a profit, whatever it is, and it dips to a sort of level that your metrics mean that it's on your radar, would you be a keen buyer of it? In other words, to become a shareholder?
Yeah, no, definitely. I like these companies, and you know, I haven't had time to really comb through 91. I know that they've, you know, recent updates, and not just today's one, but recent updates has shown that they've, you know, unlike Quilter, they had a bit of a difficult time. They didn't enjoy the inflows that Quilter had, and I know some of their funds really struggled. I mean, again, I'm not going to be harsh. I love 91. Mm. Also, not a shareholder, so that's easy to just keep that out of the way. But it's a great company, and well managed. One should always remember, when you're an asset management company, that's where listeners sometimes feel, you know, look at them. They really struggled. The fund struggled overall. I mean, and it wasn't just the one fund. It was quite a few funds that sort of underperformed their benchmarks. And people should know that when you got, for instance, I'm just going to use an example, and that can be very, very, you know, straight. I mean, 91 is not necessarily a value manager. So I'm just like, when you've got a typical value manager,
yeah,
and you've got a growth market, which we've had recently, if that value manager actually still managed to outperform markets and their benchmarks, they clearly did not follow the mandate. by being a value manager. But investors are a very, very fickle thing. I mean, when you tend to do well, you don't often hear about them. And when you sort of don't do well, you do hear. And, you know, investors are very vocal saying, well, why are we paying active fees? Why are we paying management fees? You do have a mandate. It wasn't the time or the environment for 91's, you know, mandates, and they struggled. Hence the fact that they, you know, struggled in terms of you know, the similar performances that Quilter had. Share price, after the update today, down 4.3%. So, Clearly not a good time for
this. Is it the case, Scott, that there are certain fund managers that when markets are doing really well, don't do really well with the market because they are active rather than passive? In other words, if they had an ETF or they tracked a particular index, they would track that index, as the phrase suggests, index trackers. So during bad times, do you think companies like 91 and others do better than during really, really good times, which is what we're seeing at the moment? Or am I being too simplistic here?
No. You've actually nailed it straight on the head. Because, I mean, I think, what was it? Was it 2023, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was the year where we've had the Magnificent Seven. If you stripped out, for instance, the Magnificent Seven, seven shares out of the S&P 500, basically leaving the remaining 493 shares, if you only invested in those 493 on one stage, you had negative return for that year. Adding those seven shares, suddenly the performances went up to, you know, 15 or 16%, just showing you that if you were an active manager and for some reason felt you follow a more value approach, you don't want to buy companies that's trading at anything between 30 and 80 times in price earnings ratios, because you feel that it's going to be very, very difficult to justify over the longer haul. If you don't have the share, I mean, clearly you're going to be underperforming. So you're right. At times where things are just, you know, some of these larger components just go, yes, it's a great way of investing. Go invest in a passive investment. But it's usually when volatility increase, that's the environment where you do see these active managers start, you know, coming forward again and outperforming these benchmarks.
Very good. Very good analysis. Okay, let's have a look at the markets now, which are, gosh, they're gratifyingly boring. The dollar rand is 17.65.
There we go again. I just want to quickly stop. Lindsay and myself, just off record, we had a saying in Afrikaans, which we call, you know, bitter lekker. You know, how can you have the word bitter and lekker, which is great, in one sentence, you know, with each other? I'll explain that. And you just say, what do you call it? Gratifyingly boring.
Gratifyingly boring. Yes, exactly what I said. And you asked me how I was today before we came on air, and I said, tolerably good. In other words, I'm good, but, you know, it's I can tolerate it, but it's not absolutely brilliant. But what did you say? Bitter lekker.
Yeah, bitter lekker. This is. I mean, it's not just lekker, which is, it's great. It's bitter lekker. It's like bitter great. I mean, yeah,
so in other words, it's so good that it's almost painful.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless you really, if you've got a fondness for bitterness. Oh, no, there's some people do have a fondness, but geez, no. Okay. The Afrikaans language sometimes just.
It's a lovely language, I have to say. Anyway, I was going to tell you about an Afrikaans woman that I knew that used to read me Afrikaans poetry. I didn't know a word of it, but it was so lyrical. And she used to sit and read me these poems. Anyway, I've said it now. I said I wouldn't say it, but I've just said it. Dollar rand 17.64, just to reiterate. British pound against the rand 22.96. And the euro rand is 19.20, we'll call it. Yeah, 19.20. Euro dollar 108.75, barely changed. British pound, after some really, really good inflation data from the UK today, seeing it go down to 1.7%. And don't forget, wasn't that long ago that it was above 11%. So the Bank of England has done very well there. along with the government, of course, because of the complete lack of demand in the UK economy. Elsewhere, what have we got? We've got the gold price up 9 to $26.70, $2,670 per ounce. Platinum up 18. It's gone into four figures, 1,005. Yeah. Very, very good, 1.8% higher. And palladium up $12 an ounce to $1,016 an ounce. The white metal's suddenly doing a little bit better. Now, this completes the sort of very good commodity complex for South Africa. Brent crude oil is $73.59, which is down nearly 1%. And West Texas crude, just over 1% weaker, $69.76. We've got natural gas prices falling nearly 4%. And, it's all very, very satisfactory. What else do we have here? The S&P 500 futures for December. Yeah, they've been making record highs almost every day. Here we go. Just very slightly higher at 5,864 today. The US 10-year Treasury yield is 4% on the nose. And the South African 10-year, 9.40%. Bitcoin is, 67,403. So, yeah, market's okay, Skulk. If you have a look at the movers on the JSE today, you mentioned Quilter, but it doesn't make it into the top five, unfortunately for you, because some of the ones that are in the top five will be good for you. Harmony up 6.75%, DRD Gold up 4.4%, Goldfields up 4.2%. Quilter does come in at number five, 3.9% higher. Downside AVI down 6.1%, and you'll tell me that that's ex-dividend story. 91 PLC and 91 Limited, 4.3% and 3.7% weaker, respectively. Premier down 3.5%, and Growthpoint down 3.3%. Any to add from your stable?
No. So as you read the top performers, I went back to my Afrikaans saying bitter lekker. Now that's what I call a bitter lekker day on the JSE. When your top four performers, you know, out of the top five, all the gold diggers. I mean, that's what I want to see. Yeah. I want to see this. And these guys are printing money, Lindsay. I mean, you know, you mentioned it. You know, $2,670 per ounce. These guys are really, really profitable currently.
They're coining it, as they say in England. They're coining it, which is super.
And I still believe that they're still lagging the gold price. I think, you know, investors still feel that this current gold price are, you know, a bit of a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. And I think if it's going to turn out to be a let's call it a stick in the ground or pin in the ground, then this is going to be very, very interesting for gold miners.
I think what you should do with your excellent LinkedIn messages, yeah, sometimes, what you should do is you should get the gold price in US dollars, the gold price in Rand, and the performance of, I don't know, there's no gold index anymore, but I'm sure you can come up with one somewhere, and put the three. And if the gold miners are lagging, it's not because they're doing badly. It's because people have been so disappointed with them over the years that they say, oh, we just don't believe them anymore. But the gearing, if you want gearing to the gold price, you go for a gold miner, surely.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I know a lot of listeners out there will always highlight the fact that when you look at a gold mine, or specifically our gold miners, either all in cost or all in sustainable cost, how that is increased quite incremental, you know, quite a bit more than inflation, or even it actually increased way more than what the gold price increased. I do concur. I do agree with those statements. But the one thing, if you look back, and I've done some analysis on Goldfields where I look back 15 years, and every time you do get these pops in the gold price, you suddenly see these gold mines really, really aggressively increasing their all-in cost. And it's very, very easy to look at, because when you got a gold price that moved as it's currently doing, the management are looking at this and say, well, we need to be aggressive. Let's just find any person in a 10-kilometer radius around the mine. Let's try and find it, convince them to, you know, get a shovel, get a pick, and let's just try. And so you actually do. They always increase their costs And short-term costs. And as, you know, next, let's call it quarter or two, you see that all-in costs stabilize and even come down in this higher, gold price environment. If this is going to be a similar trend that we've seen historically, as I mentioned, these mines are going to be printing money. I mean, I looked at a few of the top 10, mines, you know, globally. And some of these mines are still mining merrily at $1,500, $1,600 per ounce. And that's what some of these mines are mining their gold. And they're getting $2,600,
$2,600. It's a massive margin.
Exactly. This is something that you and early 80s was a little bit, you know, before my time, but where we've had massive gold price levels and similar environment. But since then, you will know gold mines struggle. They always sit with very, very high debt levels. They didn't really have any free cash flow, so you didn't expect any dividends. Now, suddenly, this is a different story. These guys are printing money and, are quite financially healthy. They're sitting with very, very little debt levels. And soon you're going to start seeing them, you know, pay very, very large dividends if the trend continues. So, yeah, I think this...
Have you finished with the gold story now?
No, never, ever. You know me. You just start me off. It's just a little push. You don't even have to.
Just a nudge. That's all that Low needs. Okay. Please give me the closing JSE indices, Skulk.
And just before I finish, AVI had a massive final and a special dividend. So don't despair. And most of the decline today was all dividends. And also you mentioned Growthpoint. Growthpoint was the other one that had a final dividend. So I think three out of the four, both get a 91s are just, I think, the big dropper for today after the trading statement. So, closing prices for today, the JSE All Share closed at 86,393 points. That is up 52 basis points. I'm going to leave the best for last. Industrials up 9 basis points, just keeping themselves in the green. While financials struggled to keep themselves in the green, they were down 18 basis points. Even the SA Property Index, they were down 6 basis points. And wait for it, our resources were the star of the day. Today closed the day at 2.83% in the green. So what a stunning day, you know, for our, you know, star performers on the JSE, namely the resources. And when I look at the turnover, I must say, you know, when you got a day like today where the resources trade the way they do, you would typically like to see a larger turnover, and we had, you know, 25.4 billion traded for today.
So very nice.
Very, very nice.
It's very good news. Market going up on high volume. That is an encouraging sign. Very good. Okay, Skulk, thank you for your excellent analysis as always. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow.
The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.